case, In Re Yasmin. Mr. Mogg, go ahead.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Thomas Magg, and I represent Kathy Walton. This case deals primarily on appeal with two fundamental questions. First, does a defendant who removes a case to federal court have to comply with the removal statute? Second question is there complete diversity of citizenship? Addressing the first question, the district court found that there was a procedural defect in removal, specifically that the summons was not attached to the notice of removal.
It's really trivial.
This court has found, though...
Well, what's the point? It's just so trivial. What would you do with the summons? Well, how would that help you if you had the summons?
Congress wrote the statute.
You asked to answer my question. What would you do with the summons? Would that really help you with your case?
The summons potentially could be relevant to show if it was not already known to the parties when the defendant was served.
Of course, you have the summons. You got it a few days late.
Outside of the 30-day removal time.
Who cares? What difference does it make? Was there any prejudice to you? Did it affect your lawsuit, your strategy, your legal fees? You charge more legal fees or what?
Is the summons necessary for the outcome of the case from a practical standpoint? Perhaps not. But by the same token...
Perhaps not. What's the force of perhaps?
Well, I mean, candidly, I cannot think of a reason why the summons would have to be attached other than
perhaps.
The fact that Congress wrote the statute.
Let's strike perhaps.
Okay, then I'll strike perhaps.
Okay, what about the fraudulent issue?
Fraudulent joinder issue, as this court has determined on occasions in the past, and is well settled, there must be complete diversity of citizenship. There is an exception for you can disregard an in-state or non-diverse defendant if there is no reasonable possibility of prevailing against that defendant whatsoever.
Did she buy her drugs from Neiman Foods?
Yes, Judge.
Did you put that in your complaint?
I believe it's in the complaint. There's an affidavit in the record to that effect as well.
Okay. It's in the complaint? They say it isn't. Go ahead.
I believe it is, but whether it's in the complaint or not, it is attached as an affidavit to the motion to remand that was filed in this case, signed by my client, that says unequivocally that she purchased a significant portion of her medication from Neiman Foods.
Okay, so we can go on to pharmacy liability then, right?
We go into pharmacy liability at that point then, yes. Question becomes, can you proceed against a pharmacy under Illinois law under any reasonable possibility? The answer to that question is yes.
But isn't your more important argument that this learned intermediary exception would apply equally to all the defendants?
That is a very significant portion of my argument, yes. Quite frankly, the manufacturer of the drug, Bayer Angesellschaft, a German corporation, is not a party in this case.
So you're saying all the defendants are distributors of one sort or another?
All of the defendants.
They're all intermediate.
Why can't you sue the manufacturer?
I probably could, but it hasn't been done. And since the manufacturer is not in this case at this time, then we don't consider them for jurisdictional reasons. Quite frankly, at the time the lawsuit was originally filed, I didn't know who the manufacturer was. I knew it was a Bayer entity, I just didn't know which one.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, all of the Bayer entities that are in this case...
It doesn't seem to me terribly difficult to get jurisdiction over the manufacturer. Of course, you have to find out who it was, I imagine, but...
Right. You have to find out who it was, and then after finding out that it's Bayer Angesellschaft in Germany, you have to go through the Hague Convention on Service process, such as that. But ultimately, I think there is personal jurisdiction over Bayer AG, yes.
But that wouldn't affect the case, right?
The jurisdiction...
It would affect the case. If you did sue the manufacturer, then the learned intermediary doctrine wouldn't apply.
If I did sue the manufacturer, then we're back into an argument on whether the learned intermediary doctrine applies. Yes, Your Honor.
You weren't obliged to sue the manufacturer, so I don't...
No, a plaintiff is the master of his or her own complaint. There may be an innocent seller defense that wasn't raised, but that's neither here nor there for purposes of this appeal. And unless your honors have any other questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Well, yeah, as far as the Illinois law besides learned intermediary, there's lots of law that says that just a simple pharmacy that provides that service is not liable.
That is part of the learned intermediary doctrine. The pharmacy, like all the other distributors here, are simply distributors.
Isn't the learned intermediary a doctor?
The learned intermediary would be a doctor, but under the learned intermediary doctrine, the manufacturer would be responsible for warning the doctor, as opposed to the individual consumers, of any propensity for danger or defect of that nature. The allegations is that did not happen. Since that did not happen, we are again and an exception to the learned intermediary doctrine, because as a necessary prerequisite for the doctrine, there has to be a warning of some kind conveyed to the doctor. If that didn't happen, then
the pharmacy has an obligation to do that, to warn
yes.
to warn the doctor.
Yeah, to warn the consumer, I believe, not necessarily the doctor.
Well, what if a doctor prescribes it? Is the pharmacy supposed to intercept that and then say, better look out? You know?
Well, keep in mind, this is under Illinois law. Under the Hammond versus asbestos, I forget the exact, Hammond, it's cited in the brief, any person who distributes any product in the stream of commerce is potentially liable under tort liability in Illinois.
Wow.
Learned intermediary doctrine is an exception to that. And if the learned intermediary doctrine has not been complied with, then the general rule applies.
So every drugstore is responsible for every drug they got?
If the manufacturer has not adequately warned the learned intermediary, yes.
So you got to check with every doctor that writes a prescription to see if it's got all its warnings before you dispense it.
Well, we get into the argument at that point on what's a reasonable warning if it's made in the medical literature, so on and so forth. The allegations in this complaint being that no such warning was made at all, I believe.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Monk.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Knutson?
May it please the Court, my name is Sherry Knutson, and I represent the Bayer defendants. The key issue with regard to federal jurisdiction here is whether the complaint asserts a legally viable claim against the in-state defendant, Neiman Foods, whether there's any reasonable possibility of success on this complaint. And the complaint does not allege any specific facts as to Neiman Foods.
Well, I think you have a really serious problem with the learned intermediary doctrine, because all of these defendants are distributors, and they all can shelter behind the doctrine. And if you have a defense common to everybody, all the defendants, you can't pick out one defendant and say he was fraudulently joined.
The fraudulent joinder finding as to Neiman Foods was not based on the learned intermediary doctrine. So the learned intermediary doctrine provides that if a pharmaceutical company, if a manufacturer provides an adequate warning to a learned intermediary, is discharged its duty to warn. It's then the responsibility of the doctor to pass on an adequate warning to the patient.
Right, so this is a defendant that you have against... This is a defense you have against all the defendants, including the pharmacy.
I don't believe it's the basis or the defense upon which it was found the pharmacy was fraudulently joined. Under Illinois law, it's not that the district court was concluding, well, the pharmacy has no, or the pharmacy adequately warned the learned intermediary, therefore there's no reasonable possibility of success.
I didn't understand you. The pharmacy and the, as far as the learned intermediary doctrine, its applicability is concerned, it applies to pharmacies equally with other distributors.
I don't agree. Learned intermediary.
No, you're wrong about that, and you misrepresent Illinois law in your brief.
I don't believe that we've misrepresented Illinois law.
Because you say that the Kirk case says that the learned intermediary doctrine applies to pharmaceutical manufacturers, not to pharmacies. It doesn't say that.
Well, the Kirk case says that a pharmacy, and all of the Illinois cases say that a pharmacy...
Kirk does not discuss pharmacies.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Tell me where. So why did you represent it as talking about pharmacies?
It's a case that does not go to pharmacies. You're
correct. Then why did you say that on page 30 of your brief? You're not supposed to misrepresent cases.
Under Illinois law...
You also have a contradiction. On page 22, you say that a pharmacy has no duty to warn patients. And you cite the Happel case, which says that. So the pharmacy is shielded by this doctrine, but so are the rest of the defendants, aren't they?
The situation, the defenses, and the special protections that have been recognized by the Illinois courts that are applicable to pharmacies do not apply to a pharmaceutical manufacturer.
Wait a second. First you said the learned intermediary doctrine applies to pharmaceutical manufacturers, not to pharmacies, which is false, which is a misrepresentation of Kirk. But a few pages earlier, you said it applies to pharmacies. Right? That's the Happel case.
Happel held that the pharmacy has no affirmative duty to warn a doctor or a consumer, a patient, absent very narrow circumstances that are not alleged in this complaint. That is what Happel says.
But aren't you going to make the same defense with respect to all the other defendants?
No, because a pharmaceutical company has a duty to warn the prescribing physician. Affirmative duty. The pharmacy does not. That's a very different situation. That is the basis upon which the district court concluded that the pharmacy was fraudulently joined. And that determination was correct.
Are you saying the learned intermediary doctrine doesn't apply to pharmacies?
I'm not saying it doesn't apply to pharmacies. I'm saying it's not the basis upon which the district court found fraudulent joinder. The district court found fraudulent joinder because a pharmacy in Illinois has no affirmative duty to warn either the prescribing physician or the consumer.
Neither do the distributors. The manufacturer isn't a defendant. The distributors who are the defendants are in the same position as the pharmacies, aren't they?
That is not correct. Bayer Healthcare Pharmaceuticals is the marketer of Yaz and Yasmin. They are heavily regulated by the FDA. They support the new drug application. They're responsible for the labeling. They are not protected in the same way that a pharmacy is. They're responsible for any failure to warn.
Where do you argue this in your brief? I don't see anything of that sort in your brief.
Well, this is a de novo review for the court, and it's clear from the case management orders.
I understand you. They argue this proposition that this learned intermediary doctrine is applicable to everybody. And you don't deny that. What you say is that it's not applicable to pharmacies.
What we're saying...
What you're talking about. Now you're making an argument that isn't in your brief. Somehow the different types of distributor have different obligations, which is fine, but you don't say it.
But we do say that under Illinois law, there's no affirmative duty on the part of the pharmacy to warn the doctor or...
What you don't explain is why there isn't the same protection for a wholesaler.
Why there isn't the same protection for a wholesaler?
Right.
Well, in the prescription drug context, the pharmacy law in Illinois is specific to pharmacies with regard to what their narrow duties are.
Because what the cases say is that the learned intermediary doctrine applies to manufacturers and pharmacies and presumably to all the intermediate distributors.
That is true, but it's not the basis upon which the pharmacy was fraudulently joined. It's not the basis for the district court decision. And my colleague here, who said a pharmacy...
You're saying the learned intermediary doctrine has nothing to do with the district judge's ruling?
Yes, he explains that very eloquently in his decision.
What does he explain?
that the basis upon which he found fraudulent joinder was not the learned intermediary doctrine. It was Illinois law which provides special protections to pharmacies and holds that they do not have an affirmative duty to warn either the patient or the doctor except in very narrow circumstances. It's not because the learned intermediary doctrine, you have to give an adequate warning to a learned intermediary. Here the pharmacy has no affirmative duty to give an adequate warning to the doctor. That, in fact, was a misstatement of law by my colleague. He said a pharmacy can be liable if the manufacturer hasn't provided adequate warnings to the learned intermediary. That is not accurate under Illinois law.
Happel is not a learned intermediary case? Is that what you're saying?
Happel is the case that looks at what is the affirmative duty to warn of a pharmacy, and under the very narrow circumstances of that case, where the pharmacy had collected voluntary special information, they knew that the medication was contraindicated due to an allergy for that patient. They overrode the computer system. They didn't tell the doctor or the patient. Under that circumstance, a pharmacy can have an affirmative duty to warn under Illinois law. That is what the court held. It's a very narrow circumstance. This complaint doesn't allege anything that would fit that circumstance.
Well, you know, the Leasley case, which you cited, says that if pharmacies had a duty to warn, this would be inconsistent with the exemption afforded manufacturers by the learned intermediary doctrine. Well, isn't that extending the learned intermediary doctrine to pharmacies?
No, because the learned intermediary doctrine requires that an adequate warning be given to the learned intermediary.
But it also provides an immunity against for these intermediaries. They don't have to warn. They don't have to. The pharmacy doesn't have to warn its consumers, right?
The pharmacy doesn't have to warn the consumers or the doctor. That's based on the special protections under Illinois law. That's the basis upon which the district court appropriately found that there had been a fraudulent joinder. I see that my time is almost up. I would stand on my briefs unless the court has any other questions.
Well, I guess you're saying that a pharmacy is not a learned intermediary unless, under whatever cases cited, takes some sort of an affirmative action to assume that role. I frankly didn't read that case, so I don't know what it said. But the one I'm referring to is the one that you said was the narrow exception because they did something extraordinary in order to take that burden.
That's correct, and that's consistent with Illinois law on negligent undertaking. So if a pharmacy decides to provide one type of warning, dry eyes, they don't then have to warn about every potential side effect associated with the product. So you can have, it's similar to that. In this situation of Happel, there was a very narrow circumstance where the pharmacy had voluntarily collected some very specific information that showed that the drug should not be given to that patient. And in that situation, that very narrow situation, there can be an affirmative duty to warn on behalf of the pharmacy. But outside of that, they don't have a duty to warn either the learned intermediary or the patient. We ask that the decision of the district court be affirmed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Knutson. Mr. Mayer?
I would just note that the Happel case is an exception to the learned intermediary doctrine. It is by no means an exhaustive list of the exceptions to the learned intermediary doctrine. And
well, what Ms. Knutson is saying that that your suit is based on the failure of the defendants to have warned the plaintiff. But that the Neiman Foods, the pharmacist, didn't have that duty.
In the event...
That's why there's no possible claim against Neiman Foods.
If the manufacturer had warned in whatever means is deemed reasonable or adequate, and we're not even close to there. The medical provider, then neither the manufacturer, who's not a party to this, nor any of the distributors, nor the pharmacy would be liable.
Right.
That's a common defense to all.
Is it your contention that because the manufacturer didn't provide adequate warning to physicians that the defendants are liable? Is that?
Because the manufacturer did not provide adequate warnings, all persons in the distributive chain, including the pharmacy, are liable.
Including pharmacies. So, in other words, you're saying that the pharmacy's immunity, like that of the higher order distributors, depends on the manufacturers having warned the doctor.
Absolutely.
Okay. That it?
Or the medical profession in general,
or something
to that effect. If there was a warning, we could get into whether something was adequate or not adequate, but we're not there.
Okay. Well, is that it?
Unless there's any further questions.
Okay. Well, thank you very much to both counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. Counsel.
Our last case for argument is...